Got your Bibles? Open up to Luke chapter 10. Title of my message is Faith Over Feelings. It's not about what we feel. It's about faith in God. How we live our life is by faith in God, not our feelings, not our emotions. And sometimes we can get caught up in that. We make it all about our emotions and stuff. It's not about our emotions. It's about our faith in God. It says, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, "Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name." Yes, he told them, "I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning." When Jesus sent out the 72, they returned with a good report. The demons even obeyed when they used the name of Jesus. And we know that Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's Jesus Christ. It's the Messiah, the anointed one. He is the Messiah. This is the effects of the kingdom of God being near you. Now, this is for every born again believer who loves the Lord, loves people, and walks in the authority that Jesus gave them. Verse 19, it says, "Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes, scorpions, and crush them. Nothing will injure you." Now, we know that we are not redeemed from persecution. The disciples were persecuted for their belief, for their faith in Jesus, for preaching the gospel. They were, I wouldn't say harmed, but they were persecuted. What it's talking about is like when you're walking in that authority, the enemy can't harm you. See, they can give up their lives, but the enemy, as they were sent out, the enemy did not harm them, not one bit. And then there was a case where the disciples did not cast out a demon. They came back with a good report. But there was one particular time where the disciples did not come back with, the disciples did not cast out a demon. And the father came to Jesus, "We brought him to your disciples, but they could not cast him out." And of course, Jesus said, this kind of unbelief does not come out. It was the unbelief. I said this. Jesus says, "Come here, perverse and faithless generation." And he got the young man, the young boy who was suffering from seizures and throwing himself into the fire. That's what that demon was doing to him. Cast the demon out. And when they got in private, the disciples asked Jesus, "How come we couldn't do that?" "Well, it's because of your unbelief." See, their unbelief couldn't cast it out. When they saw that little boy suffering seizure, they kind of panicked. They kind of backed off. Maybe it didn't work. And sometimes that's what happens with us. Maybe it didn't work. When somebody does something, somebody tries to cast something out and it doesn't work, where's your faith at? And see, and sometimes our faith can get in our feelings and our emotions. Maybe God didn't do it. No. Your responsibility is to talk to it. Your responsibility is to speak it. Your responsibility is to say what God has given you to say and believe that is going to come to pass. Our responsibility, as other people's responsibility, is to believe for it and receive it. And if their faith is not in that believing, that's on them. I know that's harsh, but if you preach the gospel and share the gospel with someone else and they don't receive Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior, is that on you or on them? Your responsibility was to share it, right? But I love how Jesus said, most pastors won't even say, "Well, it's because of your unbelief." It is because of our unbelief at times. The disciples had unbelief and they were walking with Jesus. You don't think unbelief is going to creep into your heart at times? We can cast it out. We can lay it aside. But don't beat yourself up because you're in unbelief. Just do like that father did. "Lord, help my unbelief." If I have unbelief in my heart, help me with it. Why? Because he wants to get you there. He wants you to be on that level that he's on. Verse 20, it says, "But don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven." When it's all said and done, no matter what authority that was given to the church, Jesus says, don't rejoice because the evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. That's what matters. Your names are being written in heaven. That's what matters. It's not about all the power and stuff. It's that your names are registered in heaven. They are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. A lot of people would chase the gifts, but they don't chase Jesus. They don't follow Jesus. They don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead them. They just go after it. Sometimes people have deliverance ministries, and then that's just exactly what it is. It isn't about their relationship with Jesus. It's about the gifts. Don't always make it about the gifts. It's about Jesus. He's the center of everything we do. Everything. We have eternal life with Jesus because our names are registered in heaven. We don't have to sit there and get all hyped up about all of our accomplishments and what we have done for the body of Christ. Again, that's the normal life of a believer. Supernatural life is the normal life of a believer. I mean, you just think about breathing. I mean, we thank God for the oxygen that we can breathe, but we don't go around saying, hey, man, give me a high five because I can breathe. That's just normal. That's just natural to us. The supernatural life is a natural life for us. Eternal life is something to get excited about. Faith in God is something excited, is something that we can get excited about. And we cannot waver in what Jesus has done for us. And people don't realize that the heart of man is so, so wicked. Our hearts are so wicked. We can't allow our hearts to lead us in the wrong path. That's why we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit of God. We walk in it. Jeremiah says, the heart of an individual is wicked according to the word. We are instructed by the word to not trust our hearts because it is wicked. Jeremiah 17:9 says this, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? Genesis 6:5 says, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. He saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. See, we may not know what's in a man's heart, but God does. He knows what's in our heart. That's why it's important for us to be transparent, because we can't hide nothing from him. Nothing. There was so much evil in man's heart that God wanted to put an end to it. In Genesis, we know that's why the flood came. God wanted to put an end. It was to the point where the Lord had made man, and he regretted that the fact that he had made us, mankind. Then he came up with this plan to destroy everything that he had created, but there was only one man that found favor with the Lord. Who was that? Noah, because he survived the flood. Noah. Do you know a man that has favor with God? Noah was that man. God said in Genesis 8:21 that the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. In Matthew 15:19, it says, For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. Jesus just got through saying that it's not what you eat that defiles you. See, it's not what you eat that goes through your body, through your intestines, and comes out of you that defiles a man. What defiles a man is what comes out of his mouth. Lying, the slander, the murderous accusations and things. You know, you can have hatred in your heart and slander somebody else. Assassination of character. That sort of thing. Those types of things is a murderous spirit. That's what defiles a man. Those things come from an evil heart. In Proverbs 6:12-19, it says, what are worthless and wicked people like? They are constant liars. They signaling their deceit with the wink of an eye, a nudge of the foot, or the wiggle of fingers. Their perverted hearts plot evil, and they constantly stir up trouble, but they will be destroyed suddenly, broken in an instant, beyond all hope of healing. There are six things that God, that the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, a person who sows discord in a family. The psalmist says that the heart plots evil in verses 14 and 18. A heart will plot evil. See, we got to have the heart of God. Jeremiah 29:11, I didn't give you this. Don't worry about it. It says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good, not for disaster. To give you a future and a hope. That's the heart that we're supposed to have. Plans to do good, not evil. If we're doing evil with our heart towards one another, that's where the problem lies. God has given us his spirit. He's given us his word. Sometimes our minds need to be renewed by the word of God. But if we begin to plot evil in our heart towards another, I'm going to say right there, that's the time you stop, reflect, repent, change your mind. Yeah, there are things that you may want to go and do, but change your mind. Repent from that. Turn from it. Because it's going to end up in a bad place. You're going to end up in a bad place. The people that you use may end up in a bad place. Somewhere that God didn't want you to be. If you plan to be prosperous, plan to be successful, plan to do good. Don't plan to do evil. Because that's not of God. Even God's wrath is righteous and just. People may think that's evil. I said, no. It's righteous and just. But when we plan to succeed. A heart that continues to plot evil towards another is a heart not surrendered to God. The enemy cannot have his way with you if you are constantly planning for good. He cannot. He can't touch you. If you're constantly planning for good, not good works to obtain salvation, you already have salvation. You already believe in Jesus. You already put your faith in him. You already trust in him. That's why we do good works, not evil. Good works should come for every born again believer. That's why the Bible tells us not to grow weary in doing good. I know some people who will just literally try to turn, the enemy will try to turn everything you do that is good, and they'll make it out to be evil to everyone else. See, that's an evil heart because they planned it. They don't have much of a relationship with Jesus. We're discipling. How should our works be? Good works. You don't have to be ashamed to say that. Good works, right? Good works. How should our works be? Good works. Not evil. Not selfish. Good works. Jesus says, you will do the works that I do, and you will do even greater works. We are men and women of integrity, and we walk in the fullness of what God has freely given us. Leaders lead, right? Do good works. I really do try to do good works, not to obtain salvation, but because that's in me. I don't go around trying to cause harm to people's lives. You know, if I did that, I'd be locked up. Honestly, I'd be locked up somewhere. If I wanted robbing and stealing. I don't do that. But see, I had a conversation with an individual, and he literally said, well, you bullied me and ostracized me from up here. In my home. I said, I didn't do that. I was preaching the truth, preaching it boldly. You got offended and tried to cause division when you left. Now, if I wanted to bully people, I don't bully people. But if I wanted to bully people, you got to get something out of it. But that's the thing. See, that's not my heart, to bully people. You know, if I said A, B, and C, and they come and give me A, B, and G, clearly they switched it up, but they didn't think I caught it. No, I said, no, I said A, B, and C. No, you didn't. You said A, B, and G. Forcefully trying to intimidate. That's the only time I correct, when they try to switch up my words and try to get me to submit to something I never do, never said. That's number four on my list. Number four, my principles. What? I'll never submit to a false narrative about myself. Now, I'm not saying I'm perfect in that, because the Bible tells us to clothe ourselves with humility and gentleness and kindness. I don't like to be kind to the devil. But also, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. So I can't knock somebody out when I want to. I haven't, which is good. So there's restraint. But when we have that confrontation, I'm not going to allow somebody to tell me this and that, and you said this and you said that when I really didn't. Matter of fact, go clip it for me. Because if I set it up here, you can bring it to me. Still to this day, haven't brought it to me. To this day. Love them, but to this day, haven't clipped it. We have to be truthful in what God's word says. And you have to be able to come against that. You have to be able to speak the truth in love. I'm working on that. But I won't allow somebody to tell me what I did or didn't do. Because I can own up to what I say. I can own up to what I do. I can't own up to what I didn't say and didn't do. Amen? Amen. Come on. Psalms 43:5 says, "Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God." The psalmist is telling us, in stressful situations, feelings doesn't matter more so than your faith in God. If you put your faith in your feelings, one day you're going to be excited about Jesus. The next day you're going to be, "I just don't feel God. I don't feel him in my life. I don't feel him around me." You realize that that's the best time when you don't feel God, that he's near you? Because it isn't about a feeling. It's about a knowing of who he is, because he said, "I'll never leave you and never forsake you." He lives here. Somebody once said, if you need a touch from God, you're not in love with him. You're in heat. People always need a touch from the Lord. You know, his word can touch you. And if you just draw on the Holy Spirit and just begin to pray in the Spirit, I guarantee you the presence of God is there. He's always there with you. But we're too busy looking for a feeling. Goosebumps. I got goosebumps when they sang that song. I got goosebumps when they said this thing, they read the word. I got goosebumps. That's not the Holy Spirit. It's inward. It's not an outward feeling. You can sense the presence of God. I get goosebumps too in theaters. If it's too cold in the house, I'll get a goosebump or whatever. But I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit. It's the knowing that God is there, that he ain't never going to leave you. He's always there. He's always present in your life. He's everywhere. That's the knowing. That's the faith that we have. Thomas needed to see Jesus. "Unless I see the nails, the mark in his hands, and the piercing in his side, then I'll believe." You are more blessed because you don't see that. That's what Jesus says. "Blessed are those who see, who believe but do not see." Thomas needed to see him. You're more blessed than that. And the thing about it is that God rebuked them again for their hardness of heart, for their unbelief. Jesus did that. See, they were in unbelief again. But yet he says, "Unless you have a faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Be removed,' and it will be gone." Your faith is not in your emotions. It's not in your feelings. It's in the word of God. It's knowing who he is, because he never, ever changes. Regardless of your situation, God will never, ever change. Jesus doesn't change. He changed his covenant and how he dealt with man. But he never changed as an individual, because even in the old covenant, if you don't see it, you can see his mercy throughout it. How often they tempted the Holy One of Israel, but yet God showed mercy towards them. He could have wiped them all out. Every single one of them. And he had every right to do it, but he chose not to on some occasions. And God can take us all out. How many are actually living I'm talking about a plush life. Like, they're 100%. But yet his grace, his mercy every single day is new. Thank God for that. Where sin abounds, grace abounds how much? Much more. Genesis 6:6. It says, so the Lord was sorry he had ever made them and put them back on earth. It broke his heart. What man was doing here on earth, it broke his heart. We're created in his image, and what they were doing back there broke his heart. I don't ever want to get to the place to where I break God's heart because I'm not listening. I'm not obeying what he wants me to do. I want to do what the Lord wants me to do. And to be honest with you, I really don't care who doesn't like that. If the Lord told me, get out of that situation right there, get out of that relationship, I'm going to do it. I nearly lost my life not doing it. Think I'm going to do it again? Oh, Lord, I didn't hear you. Okay. You're going to open up the door to disobedience. I'm not doing that anymore. I love people. I love people, but sometimes they're not for you. They're for themselves. People try to say, it's not about me. It's about Christ living in me. But guess what? We all have to give a personal account. Were you listening to what I told you? Well, so-and-so, you can't blame someone else. So it actually is about you and Christ. It's about what he's commanded you to do. It's about what he's wanting you to do and what you're supposed to be walking in it. If it's your faith, you're responsible for your faith. Are you going to do what God told you to do with your faith? Are you going to trust in him or are you going to trust in people? Because curses the man who places their trust in man. I trust people to do exactly what they're going to do. But my full trust is in Jesus. If you know of a person that's kind of shady behind the scenes and stuff, I trust you to do exactly that. If you want to surprise me, go right ahead. But I trust you to do exactly that. I'm not putting my hope and my trust in not one individual on this earth. I trust you to be a man of God if you're a man of God. Trust you to be a woman of God, a praying woman of God, if that's you. God bless you. Walk in it. I trust you to have faith in God. Put your faith in Jesus. He's never going to let you down. God has never let me down. I've let myself down by not trusting in him. There's only one person on the face of this planet that has actually died for your sins. And you're going to trust someone else in their opinions over God's word? Who prospered you? Abraham gave a tenth so no man can say, I prospered Abraham. God prospered Abraham. God prospers you. Why not put your faith in him? That's one of the reasons why I honor him with my tithes and offerings. One of the many reasons. Another one, it says, because he said, test me in this. Okay. Another one is, he says he loves a cheerful giver. Okay. So I need some. Got to get me going. Place your trust in man. God, not man. Not man. Caught myself on that. People sinned against God like it was nothing. So reverse the decision that you made. All of it is just your choices. Control your feelings. God doesn't talk too much about how we feel. He does not talk too much. The word will, but the Bible doesn't address your feelings too much. God addresses more so on how you think towards others, towards him and towards yourself. That's important. You may not realize it that when you don't feel like it at all, you might just be pleasing him even more. When you don't feel him, you might be pleasing him. Have you ever prayed for somebody or spoke over something and you didn't feel absolutely nothing, but yet God showed up? We keep waiting on a feeling. It's a knowing. You don't have to wait on a feeling. Well, I feel this and oh. It's a knowing, not a feeling. Come on. We don't have to get spooky with it. It's a knowing. No, Lord, I know you walk with me every day, every single day. When I'm going on my walks, Lord, I know you're there. When I'm eating my meal, I know you're there. When I'm taking a shower, don't look. But he's there. Regardless, he's there. He sees the problems that you're going through. He's there. He hears your thoughts. He knows your thoughts. He's there. He knows the struggles that you have, your personal struggles that you have. He's there. He knows that. And he loves you. And he cares about you. But he wants to help you. He's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to make you do something, but he wants you to yield to him so that you can. Do what he's called you to do. Faith over feelings. Colossians 1:27 says this, "For God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you." That's the secret. That's the mystery right there. This gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. This revelation has been hidden from generations long ago and is now revealed to the saints of God. Jesus Christ lives in you. He is the hope of glory. Jesus is able to live in us because of the Holy Spirit. So we are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. And if by the Spirit, then Christ lives in us. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, then you are not his. If we don't have the Spirit of Christ living in us, we are not his. Thank God for those, like when the Bible says that God loves those, God disciplines those he loves. If you're not getting that discipline, then you're illegitimate. Thank God for discipline. Thank God for correction. He loves you. He loves you enough to correct you. He loves you enough to rebuke you. He loves you enough to teach you and train you up. He loves you enough to do that. I love you enough. Sometimes my kids didn't like it when I coached. Isaiah probably got the brunt of it. But I loved him to correct some of the stuff he was doing. I loved him enough to do that, to correct my boys. I love him. God loves you. That's why you correct your kids. Sometimes people don't like the correction because they just want to control. My correction is so that you would do good works, so that you would be thoroughly equipped to do every good work. Some people's correction is just to control or to be right. I don't need to be right. I don't have to be right all the time. But if I believed other people, we'd both be wrong and we both fall into a ditch. Two wrongs don't make a right. Somebody said, well, yeah, but it sure makes you even. If your focus is on your feelings, then it's all about your emotions. Women need emotional intimacy, but for men, we are not governed by our emotions. I like truth. I like facts. I don't like emotions. I said, so some of the things, I said, so the Lord is kind of working with me on it. I'm good maybe 90% of the time. 10%, not so much. Because it has to deal with stuff that I already said I'm done with. But women need emotional intimacy. We need that intimacy with the Father. We need that intimacy with the Holy Spirit every day. Not just on Sunday. That's even Sunday afternoon, Sunday night, Monday morning. Monday afternoon, Monday night. That's every day. 7 days a week, we need it. Our emotions can get the best of us if they are not controlled. God has given us power, love, and a sound mind, self-control. Notice that this verse doesn't say gives us control over others. But yet evil hearts will plot to gain illegal access and control over other people. In Ephesians 4:23, it says, "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." We are called to put on the new man. There's several scriptures in the Bible that talks about clothe yourself. Every one of those is good things, not evil. Every one of those things are good. Clothe yourself with love. Clothe yourself with gentleness. Clothe yourself with the fruit of the Spirit. Clothe yourself in Christ. These are all good things that we're supposed to clothe ourselves. So if we're clothing ourselves, if everyone is making their own personal mission to clothe ourselves with humility, there would be no way we can plot evil in our heart towards another person. Ever, if we are actually clothing ourselves, we are putting on our whole armor of God ourselves. There's no way you can do it to him or to her. No way. But yet there is some. And when there is some, stand against it. You could do it in love. You could be a lot more tactful than I am. I'm not very tactful in that. Working on that. But when I see evil coming through, that's like, I can sit there for a little bit, and then it's like, okay, I'm going after you. Because you came to me. I didn't go to you. I'm going after it. Why? Because it's evil speaking. Those who are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Yield to the direction and words of the Holy Spirit is telling you. Yield to that. Because what comes from the Holy Spirit is a lot better than what comes from our emotions and our feelings and our flesh. Romans 13:14 says, "Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires." So put away all the evil desires that the world participate in. There should be a difference between us, born-again believers, and the world. Now, the world, I mean, they can show a lot of love. They can show commercials of them helping the poor and stuff and taking care of the orphans and the widows. But do you have a genuine relationship with Christ? They don't, but you do. You have a relationship with Jesus. And you can have that relationship with Jesus. And what comes with that is that authority and that power. That's the difference. They can't pray for somebody and get healed. They can't speak life into them and heal. You can. Because he's given you the authority to do that. Come on. So you can actually keep yourself from thinking evil towards another. How? By clothing yourself with Jesus Christ, his presence. Colossians 3:14 says, "Clothe yourselves with love." We all have a personal responsibility to do that. And if you were to back up two verses, it says, "Clothe yourself with tenderhearted in mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and peace." That one's a mixture for me, I'm telling you. Sometimes I want to reach out and touch someone. I kid you not, that's my biggest struggle right there. What? Wanting to do that. My biggest struggle. My son had to stop me one time. When that individual was saying those things to me in my home, disrespecting me in my home, it took everything in me. Not my finest moment. But thank God for people who are there to help you. So you probably know your pastor is not perfect. But like I said, I can own up to the stuff I do. I just can't own up to the things that the embellishments of what people say. So I don't chase after stories. But he tells us to clothe ourselves. Clothe ourselves with humility. Clothe ourselves. Humility isn't making fun of yourself. It's exalting Jesus. It's exalting who God is. Because you're realizing you can't do this stuff in your own power. I can't do it in my own power. If I did, I'd be locked up by now. That's why I need God's grace every single day of my life. I need his love. I need his faithfulness. I need his word to govern me, govern my hearts. But see, the thing about it is, I never laid hands on it. I talk about it. I want to do it. My flesh is like, dude, just let us roll for a minute. Just a minute. Come on. But it doesn't happen. But it doesn't mean I don't struggle in it. I need Jesus just as much as anyone else. But God is faithful. The one who began a good work in you will see it through. And the Bible also says that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God, does it? It don't. I want to be a man that stands for truth and righteousness, but I don't handle the disrespect very well. I got to work on that. Huh? I don't know, Dad. I love you too. So we have an opportunity. Feed our faith. We starve our doubts. We don't go off our feelings and emotions. It doesn't mean that they're not valid. They are. But God is not in your feelings and emotions. He lives in you. And he wants you to yield yourself to him so he can tell you what you need to do in order to get out of that situation or to get you through it. But he needs your permission because he's not going to override you. He walks with you. Amen. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done. Lord, we thank you that you are our Lord and Savior. And we make that decision every single day of our lives, whether we feel like it or not. We know that our faith is in you, Lord. We know that our faith is governing your word and what you have said and spoken over us. Father God, we ask that you help the hearts that may have had a hard time hearing this message. We ask that you help them through this. And Lord, we just thank you for the security that we have in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.